welcome to the God is a Geek podcast. My name is Adam Cook, and this is definitely not the second time we've tried this podcast today. It's episode 437, and if you haven't already, make sure you do subscribe on YouTube. Hit the bell button so you never miss another video, because we've got lots coming up. Unfortunately, it won't be Monster Hunter Rise this week. We'll talk about that next week when everyone else has had a chance to play it. But I'm not here alone. It's not just me, Adam Cook. It is another man who shares the same name as me. And he will know I'm not going to do that bit again. The whole bit that was the original Lost to the Ethers podcast. But Adam Carroll, welcome to this podcast for the very first time. Right, mate?
I'm delighted to be here. The first time
this podcast has been recorded.
Very first time.
Definitely. And I know that Christopher Hyde would definitely agree with that. Right, Chris Hyde? That's Chris White.
Definitely.
That's going well.
Chris White's here as well.
This is a shambles. Chris White's on screen and I'm introducing Chris Hyde. We're all here. The game's all here.
It's amazing.
Hello, everyone. How are you?
It shows the confusion of having two people with the same name, doesn't it?
We did that bit. We can't.
Yes, but it does. It takes two Adams and it takes two Chrises to make this podcast work.
Sure. Let's talk about it. Takes two, lads. Let's just talk about that video game. Hey, what do you think of the story, Christopher White?
Oh, right. Here we go. It Takes Two is fantastic.
Yes.
In everything it does, I think the story is
really good, right? That's what everyone's saying.
Yeah, but like, well, apparently so. Yeah, I think the premise is pretty straightforward. I don't know what people kind of want from it. There are times when it's quite moving. It's genuinely funny. Like, it's not one of those try hard video games that tries to be funny and it just falls flat on its arse. Like, the writing's really good, whether it's
is that the saying, it falls flat on its arse, okay, because it was flat on its face.
That's an official saying.
Let's coin it if it isn't.
No, I want it to be it's flat on its arse.
The saying
you well will
yeah no you mate listen
I want that
things are going
mine now.
You say whatever the fuck you want to say. That's all I'm going to say on the matter.
Okay.
Straight in.
Sounded
balls. Boobs.
I mean, even me.
Fanny.
Starting to talk to me now.
Whoa.
I mean, okay.
Here it takes two.
No, in all seriousness, like, obviously, the review's up. 10 out of 10. Yes, Adam Carroll. Sorry. Put your hands up. Good lad in the class there. Well played.
I'm going to go straight with It Takes Two here, right? This game is something that I am incredibly excited for, and I did not know, like, that I was going to want to play this game as much as, like, I expected.
Yes.
And to be honest, anything I've seen, I feel like this game, like every game, obviously, but this game in particular, seems like a very hard game to talk about any moment of. Even seeing this footage, I feel, at times could maybe be like, it's not spoilers. It's just like, there seems to be a lot of magic within this game. I think the mechanics, obviously.
We've been careful about this, right? I should say, because there's a moment we played way back at the preview. I should say it's the third time I've played through the opening few levels, because I played it preview with Chris White, I played it preview with Chris Hyde, and played the full version all the way through with Chris White again. Even in the early stages, there's elements that I wouldn't want to spoil, because although I'm planning on playing this game through again, I wouldn't want to say to you. I mean, both Chris's know the first moment I'm talking about. It comes very near the end of the preview section. We didn't show that in the preview section. There was no one saying we couldn't, by the way. There was no one saying, don't show that, don't show that. No one at all. I just don't want to ruin it. Like, it's like, what? And there's another moment later on in the game where Chris White and I both literally went, oh my God. And Chris, I mean, I'll let you sort of talk around that, because you know the bit I mean, right?
Yes.
Well, we were just genuinely, that's what I was...
I was going to say that's what I was saying to Adam, but I haven't said it to
Adam. In the podcast, that's not going to make it.
There's a bit that you will love as much as we did because of what it pays homage to.
I'd say
but more. There's a lot of that throughout. Like, well, yeah. I mean, there's a lot of that throughout. Like, there's small references to other video games. Like, might be a line of dialogue. Mm-hmm. It might be a full-on level. It might be a mechanic. But that's kind of one of many charms of It Takes Two. Like, those yes. moments are great, but then the actual gameplay is fantastic. Like, the way each like ability you, because like at every level you're kind of given something new to do. So one of you will have one ability and the other will have another, and they work well together. Like the co-op side of it isn't just playing a platformer through. You've got the abilities that you have to use together in order to succeed.
So for example,
you forget about
Chris,
those abilities. Sorry.
That's right. Yeah. Just, as people are watching this, and if you're not, watch the video version of this podcast available on youtube.com/godasgeek. We've only got a few clips of gameplay here because we don't want to spoil some of the more amazing moments. The section you're seeing is middle-ish of the game. No, probably later than that. For example, Chris is playing as Cody, and I'm playing as May. And you'll see May on the left, Cody on the right. And what Chris is doing is his ability here is that he's kind of at one with the plants. So the enemies you just saw, he could pull them and hold them tight, but they're shielded, which meant he could then get behind. I could get behind them and damage them with the sickle that May's got. Like now, you're looking at ice levels, and again, it's based around magnets, which is one of the, I think, the more deeper mechanics, like where you've got opposing magnets, so they do different things. Like one, you know, magnets attract or oppose or repel, and so like it, like Chris says, every single section, but there's no waste, and I keep going back to this because it really struck a chord with me. Joseph Fares himself said that he remembers one point during the development where he was watching like one of the team make this thing for a year that would be seen for seconds. And this game, Chris White, is full of that kind of thing, isn't there? Like, it's...
Oh, absolutely. You like, not just the mini games. Like, there's loads of mini... Like, oh, that's a whole other aspect to it. Yeah. Like, you're playing the platformer as it is, which is excellent. And then you'll come to like a mini game and you can spend like, you can replay it, or some of them last 20 seconds, some of yeah. them last a minute. You can play a full game of chess, can't you?
Yes.
Like
yeah,
an actual
yeah,
game
yeah.
of chess if you want to, which could take hours. So there's all those. And then there's, like you say, there's bits where
people are
you
seeing
can brush past
the
and never see
ice
it.
Skating race that we did on screen right now. This yeah. is the, one of the, this is a mini like game. Totally missable, totally nothing for it. It's just something fun to do within
just
the mechanics
like little
of the
details
game.
As well,
mm-hmm.
like the sled where
yes.
I was pushing you on a
yes.
sled.
Yep,
like stuff like that. That happens hundreds of times where there's loads of things to interact with, and obviously that's one of the things that Hayes like love. Mm. And what Fares has said himself is that he wants interactivity over collectibles. Like
yes,
and it's literally you find something to interact with all the time. Some of it is actually like integral to the progression, but other times it's just there for fun. There's Easter eggs for their own game, like Away
oh, yeah,
Out.
Yeah,
just,
yeah.
There's tons of stuff, and like the actual nods to the games that have inspired Haze Light are just fantastic. Like, and that's why there's no mention of the actual moments in the review, because what will be like, this game needs to be experienced, and it like those moments. Which there will like there will 100% be some of these in the Game of the Year chat.
Mm.
Like there's no way not
it
to.
Showing these RC
yes.
cards.
Yeah, that again was one of the tiniest little things. That the mechanic yeah. of that, yeah. right? So it is. It's probably easier if I just get a controller and like, just this is just handy. Like so with the controller, the way that you're sort of fit you. It, do you remember when you had? I didn't have one until quite late because we were a bit of a poor family. So it was like you have to feather it. You can't just go right, go. I'm holding down the trigger. I'm gonna go round because you'll fly off. You will literally fly yeah. off. And yeah, I'm sorry, I was trying to get it back to that on for the VT, but you have to sort of feather it. And then when we were playing it, I finally got ahead of Chris, and I just got a bit like, no, I'm gonna win, and I held it down and shoo, off the edge of the track, and he just
yeah.
Never, maybe I'm wrong, and Chris will have to back me up here. I don't recall any mechanic close to the idea of feathering the trigger for an accelerator ever coming up in the entirety of the 12 plus hours we played through that single player campaign ever again.
No.
And for me, the only other people who do that, and I mentioned it, I believe I mentioned it, in the Mario 3D World review for the Switch, there's enough ideas in that game and Odyssey that other game developers take that idea and go, this is our whole game. And that's fine. Like Gears of War built the idea of active reload cover shooter into a whole game, whole genre, whole series. And absolutely brilliant. Love it. Love those games. You guys all know that. This does what Nintendo do. They take all these ideas that you could spread across. You wouldn't be able to spread them across perhaps a 12-hour game, but 2 or 3 hour platformer games, you know, little indie games. And they make a whole game where you can't believe that it's like... So, for example, we showed it in the preview, the hammer and nail stuff. I can't believe that never comes up again. That is so clever. So clever. And yet you never see it again. That's it. That is one and done. And it's the same with the... like. I think you mentioned it in the review, Chris, riding spiders. Never again. There is other... you do ride other animals and creatures. Totally different mechanic. Like in the preview section, Chris Hyde, you saw it, you ride a beetle. I'll say no more than that. In the rest of the game, you ride a spider. Mm-hmm. Totally different controls, totally different mechanics, totally different ideas. And that never stops. Like, till the last section of the very last bit of the game, you're like... I mean, you just... I said it in my sort of preview, and I really do feel this. If like, A Way Out was all about Joseph Fares and I did the motion capture, I did the voice, this feels like it's Hayes-like... Because there's no way Joseph Fares... I mean, maybe... Maybe he did go, oh, make that bit, make that bit, make that bit, make that bit. Maybe not. I don't know. But I just feel like this is them showing what they can do with the studio. And I do think there's money behind this game because it is so smooth. The performance is incredible. I tried it on Xbox S, Series X. I think I saw one moment of slowdown. One moment on slowdown on the Series S. Series X, it was just like butter. People on screen are seeing also, if you look at the split screen now, you'll see it's dynamic, so that the person on the right is doing more of the action as Chris is walking around a circuit board, and I'm on the left there shouting into a microphone, which he's carrying a speaker, and it's exploding the things to create a path for us. But the split screen dynamic has changed so that there's less of me, because I don't need to see me. And it does that, it plays with that all the way through the game.
There's one thing that I didn't mention in the review too much, and it's like there's a lot of kind of rails in the game where you kind of move along different types of rails, and like there's one, like they even they're different by what they can do. Like you don't just go like ride a rail and then that's it. There's like all sorts, and there's like one particular level in the girl's bedroom where you went off on these different rails, and there's like three like parallel to each other, and then there's like a board in front of me on the ground which has got like animal faces on, like a kid's, like you press a button and it makes the noise of the animal that's shown, like, and if the, like the cow, I had to jump on the cow when there was like a cow panel in front of you to make it move so you could glide through.
Yeah.
And then do that, and then on the other side you've got a set of like nine different animals, and they have to control the other route for me to get over.
Yep.
Like, it's just full of that. Like, it's just full of so many ideas in every facet of its gameplay that it's one of the most inventive games I've ever seen.
Yeah, I agree.
I think the platformer, because it's so tight and so responsive, and there's so much of it, and it never, nothing ever outstays its welcome, and nothing ever feels like it's just been thrown in there because they can't think of anything else. Like, a lot of love and attention has gone into every mechanic for every section.
Yes. To add to that, another thing, and what you've kind of reminded me of, is there were moments actually in the preview and in the review version where we came across things and I would ask the question like, oh, did you get in? Because obviously there's certain things you can do. They're like more in depth, I guess, where you get achievements or trophies for them. And so, for example, this is an exact example. Fairly late on in the game, there's like you're in an attic, I think, and there's like a game of Bop It, the thing where you know where it goes red, green, yellow, and then it goes red, green, yellow, blue, and you have to follow that. Now, I thought, hang on, if I just keep doing this, I'll get an achievement. Now, imagine that idea 20 times, and every time you realise, no, there's no achievement, there's no progression. It makes you think about video games kind of how they used to be, where you weren't playing for numbers, you weren't playing to unlock things. You were playing because the fun was there for you to find. And that, like, there's a, in the same section, there's like a little, because again, you're miniaturized, there's like a carousel of, you know, like little horses, like a, you know, a fairground carousel. And you jump on it and you go round and the music's playing and that's it. There's no, it doesn't unlock anything. It doesn't change anything. It's just part of the creativity and the interactivity of the world. And they do this the entire length of the game, multiple times. Like, the mini games are their own thing, but these aren't mini games. Like, the mini games are explicit about, this is a mini game, this is a shooting range mini game, this is Bop It, not Bop It, what's the one with the, like, the mole, you know, where you have to pop up and down? Chris Hyde, you saw that.
A whack-a-mole.
Whack-a-mole, like, that is a mini game. There's all these other smaller things that aren't mini games, they're just in the world. The photograph section in the treehouse, inconsequential. You just, yeah. there's a diorama, one of you jumps in, or you can set a timer. You can even set a timer on the camera so you can get a selfie of both of you. And it's not for anything. It's not for anything. It's pointless, in arguably. And yet, that's so different from what you're used to. You're used to pixel hunting in a game to find that collectible, because that will get you the 10th out of 10 and you'll get an achievement pop-up, whereas this is just for the sake of the world. So while I get all the problems people have got with the story, I feel like they're maybe overanalyzing slightly. Not every game has to be The Last of Us Part 2. Not every game has to be That Dragon Cancer. You know, some games can just be the tremendous gameplay with a story there. It's not strong, but it's not supposed to be the... I may be misinterpreting it myself. I don't feel like the story is the most important part. The journey is the most important part for me. And it's going to take something for this to be topped for me. Like, it's going to take something special for this to be... When you get to a certain point in life, it becomes difficult to sit down for 12 hours and play a video game straight. Right? It becomes difficult. Throw into the fact that this is only a co-op game, and it throws... It's even more difficult. And there was no point this felt like a chore to me. No point whatsoever. I looked forward to it. I remember there was one day we were going to meet up and we couldn't. And I was gutted because, like, oh man, I really wanted to play more. And I bet you were as well, Chris. Like, every time...
Yeah.
Don't talk about just draws you in. Don't think about... Because I wasn't the hugest fan, to be brutally honest. Like, I never was one of those, oh yeah, fuck the Oscars. I was like, bit cringe to me. He seems like a decent guy. We've both spoke to him since. He seems like a decent guy. Who really believes in what he's doing. He gives off an air slightly of Peter Molyneux to me, only the difference being...
He delivers.
It Takes Two is... I think people like the
when we finished it and we were like, we were almost trying to find something wrong with it because that's our job.
You're critiquing it, yeah.
But I feel like that's what's happened. And I think, like, with other reviews, the game is so much fun. Like, just embrace that. Don't try and find... Like, the story is a story about divorce just with a weird twist. Like, what else do you want from it?
I mean, you can ask for realism in that story, and my counter to that would be, yeah, no, I get it. It would totally make sense to have a really dark, moving, depressing story about divorce, which can be horrible. I'm sure some of us have experienced somebody who's got that in their life, but you've been shrunken down into dolls and you're riding spiders, and it's like...
I think storytelling in general has become just... It's so hit and miss with so many people now in every sort of like thing, like whether it's movies, TV shows, video games. Nobody really comes together that much anymore and just kind of all agrees. Not everyone's going to agree on something, but you know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
Why people are going to bash something like this and when there's so much more to it, it seems, well, within that, its gameplay.
And why are you saying that? Spot on, because like, you don't play Mario Odyssey and go, well, that story was
rubbish. That's what I was going to say. No one ever bashed on any of the Mario games.
Is that where we're going to get to? Is that where we're going to get to? Because if everything has to be overanalyzed, then I'm sorry, you have to go, Mario, yeah, amazing game, but they've told this story 50 times. It's the same story. Peach has been killed. And like, yeah, sure, do that. But like, at some point, I can't... Hey, I may be wrong. I kind of just want a game to be fun sometimes. Like, don't get me wrong, walking away from The Last of Us Part 2, Chris, you and I'll remember that. I'll always remember that. I remember the first one, like some of the moments in that game before it was out, there had no one to talk to, and it's like, okay, this is... And I said it in that review that I believe that pushes the medium forward in a storytelling sense that no one else has done. But not every game has to do that.
No, it doesn't. Yeah. And the fact that this is solely aimed at playing with somebody else is the best thing about it, because
it's also something we need to stress, that this is only co-op. This is only a co-op game. You don't have to both buy it. You can buy it and you get the friend pass, which will be available on Friday when it comes out. And I believe you can actually both download the friend pass version for free and trial it, actually, like a demo. But otherwise, only one of you needs to get it. It's £30. So it is a chip title already.
Ridiculous bargain.
I don't want to come across as a raving fanboy, but I've got nothing but good things to say about it.
The thing that I will say, obviously, I've only played the preview bit with you, Adam. But the thing that I'm so pleased about with this conversation is, it's almost like we're saying the same things again that we said then, but with the confidence that it lasts throughout the entire game. Because my biggest worry when I played the preview was like, they're just showing us the kick-ass ideas.
Yeah, there's no way it can be like this.
It can't carry on another however many hours with so many new ideas. Like, but it's clear that, you know, we were waxing lyrical about the hammer and nail piece, but it's clear that there are other equivalents.
Well, that's not
those.
Even the best bit. That's not even the best mechanic they give you.
Exactly. And I think that for me is why I'm so excited about this and why I'm not surprised at the score and all the stuff you guys have been saying, because I felt that way when I played the preview.
Yep.
My only concern was, am I going to feel that way? Am I going to feel the same when I see the credits and everything's finished? that still is how I feel. And that's exactly, you guys have literally almost, some of the things you guys have said, you said at the preview, and it's so pleasing to hear that, because it means that the whole thing as a package holds up right to the
100%.
Very end.
And as for the elephant, Chris White, the elephant in the room.
We won't spoil. No, obviously not. But there is a scene with an elephant.
Yeah,
and it will 100% be in my top five moments this year.
Yep.
Because all I will say is that we were playing it. Your wife was in the room. My wife was in the room.
Yep.
And they both.
We weren't happy. Yeah.
About what was happening.
My wife wouldn't watch it anymore after that. She was just like expecting something horrible to happen again. And I was like, no, it was just there was just a moment. And she was like, no, and she just wouldn't watch. And I actually thought this would be a game that she might even want to actually try, because it's one of those that looks so good. I thought maybe I think she walked in on the wrong moment and that was it.
I
don't know what bit you're talking about, but I remember thinking when I played the preview that there's a couple of moments in that that are dark.
Yeah, no, there's definitely darkness, but no.
I mean, I'm sure it's not elephant scale, but...
It's not like... I know what bit you're on about. It's not kind of like sad.
No.
It's what is happening.
It's horrific, but...
It's
fantastic.
I was thinking more the first main boss... how they go down. I remember thinking that.
Yeah, I mean, we've shown that in the Let's Play. Yeah. No, it's
sort of starts and then it finishes and you're like, I'm a bit uneasy about what's just happened there.
But they say that in the game. I don't know. Yeah. Look, listen, we should talk about more than this. But before we move on, I did just want to say thank you to Philip Tindall, who, as watching this live, has dropped some coin in the Super Chat. And I believe he may be the first person ever to do that, because we haven't been streaming this stuff that often, so thank you very much.
Wiz,
thanks,
king
man.
Of
guy,
Jackbox.
Quick king.
Absolutely. So I mean, Chris, that's what you and I have been playing basically for the last week non-stop, a bit more than a week I think, but that's what you and I have been playing. Adam Carroll, would you like
Adam
to share
Cook.
Yeah with the group what you have been playing?
All right.
You don't have to. Sorry, I thought it would be nice.
I suppose I'll talk about something there.
Go on.
I haven't been playing anything really new as such.
Okay.
I took like this week to play a few NES games on the Switch.
Yes.
Because I just feel, you know, the SNES and the NES kind of are sitting there, and it's like, I haven't really taken full advantage of the games that they're putting out there, and you know, I'm not going to spend like all day playing these kind of games anymore, really, to a certain degree. But I said, I jump into the NES ones. And first off, I just got to say, the box art of these games are just quality. They're all quality. I want them all.
They don't do them like that anymore, do they?
They don't, do they? No, and it's... No. That's the thing, like, I was just like, look at this, what's this game? And you play it and you'd be like, all right. You know, sometimes like, oh, this is what this is, okay. And you just play it for like 2 minutes and you turn it off. But I play three in particular. I won't talk too long about it because one game in particular I do want to chat about. But the first one is called Nightshade. This is just actually recently after being added onto the NES section. And look, it came out in 92. This is apparently Nightshade Part 1. The Claws of Zutka, I think. I don't know if that's the right way to pronounce it. Part 1, who knows where Part 2 is? I don't know. What drew me into this game was, obviously, the box art, I think, is really cool. But this game does a couple of things that's quite interesting for its time. It has this like character who, I have to check off his name again, it's hilarious. Like, he's obviously called Nightshade, that's his alias name. Oh yeah, he's named Mark.
Of course he is. He's gone for Nightshade.
Of course he is. Yeah,
when he went for Nightshade, he goes, ah, I'll go for that one. And it's about this like superhero who basically gets murdered in this kind of like urban metro city. And Nightshade takes on the role of being the hero and saving the day. And it's kind of like he has this like dark man look. He has the hat and the long coat and stuff. And he has this kind of noir vibe about him. But what the game does, now it runs how it runs, you know. But there's, it has these point and click elements. So when you're walking around the place, anything you want to interact with, you press the button and it brings up this kind of like cursor and you can highlight over an object and you can either interact with it like a drawer and take out an item in it, or gives you a bit of text on it and stuff like that. Like that kind of aspect is, it kind of makes the sense of discovery a bit worthwhile. But there's certain elements, like you're tied to a chair at one stage, and look, I'm gonna have to spoil it. This game came out in fucking 92. Like, come on, do you know? But you're tied to a chair, and you're kind of like wiggling around the place in the chair. But you kind of have to go backwards to a candle and burn the ropes off and stuff. And I think those kind of elements in a game like that they're interesting. It's an interesting kind of thing to be thrown into. I recommend playing it if you have the online for the NES thing. I had a good time with it. Another hilarious one I played was called Eliminator Boat Duel. Now,
what?
Eliminator Boat Duel is straight up just a powerboat racing game. The right. reason I played this was because we don't get games like this. We just don't.
It looks like Micro Machines.
Micro Machines, yes. Yeah. And then it changes to the different view, so maybe not, I don't know.
Now, straight off, jumping into it, I was like, oh yeah, I'm up for a bit of this. And I instantly started the race and got fined like $2,000 for starting too quickly in the race. But it is Micro Machines. It does actually run pretty well. Like, the controls are... they're pretty tight, like, you know, for it. It's a bit overly challenging, as these games are kind of are. But there's fun
different,
to be had. You do upgrades.
Times. Looking at some of the artwork of the ladies, different times.
Oh, yeah, blimey.
Ah, Christ, yeah. Like, it's kind of... there's a bit of hillbilly-ish kind of vibes off it as well. Yeah. But it's fun. Do you know, it made me kind of go, geez, I need to take out Micro Machines or something like that again and play those kind of games, oh, you know, man. Because it's fun... I just really enjoyed it.
I'm just the other pixel game, art which on the ladies is really.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, go on. Sorry.
Madness. And the other game, which was my favorite of the bunch that I played this week, was called Vice Project Doom. And this game was just catching me by surprise constantly, because it's a straight up just action game. You are this like muscle, if you look at the cover, it's just like a kind of an 80s macho guy, and the girl is hanging off him and stuff, and like, it's a side scroller for the most part, but it opens up with a pure car chase. And like, I'm talking like it's top down, but you're flying along the place and you're just shooting all the vehicles. And I was kind of going, okay, is this what this is? Do you know? Because you know these games, you press start, off you go, this is what you're getting. And you're either dying straight away or you're getting along just fine. And I was getting along just fine with Vice Project Doom. And then finished this, like, quality opener. And then it was a side-scroller. And it was, for the most part, like, another great game. Like, I've never
looks
heard
like
of
Mega
these
Man
games
to
before,
me.
You know?
Looks a lot like Mega Man, where you get hit and you fall off everywhere and, like...
Come here to me now. If you're going to start comparing games of this time to another game of that time, like, let's be real, it's not as difficult. It's not as difficult as Mega Man whatsoever. Like, Mega Man's not difficult.
It's shite. Let's be clear. Mega Man's not difficult. It's shite.
I think...
No, you can think what you like. I'm telling you... It's shite, okay? Let's talk about your game.
We can all have
discussion.
Our own opinions, just not voice them.
Not on this.
I get a toned down kind of like Contra. Not as frantic as Contra, not as overly challenging as Contra, but it has that kind of, or Pro Protector, whichever version you played it. But it has that kind of feel. I think Vice Project Doom is actually pretty decent. The only one, like, and so is Nightshade. The only one eliminated both. Look, just play it, and you'll be like, "Oh, that's fun." I missed those.
Do you think you'd be willing to do like Retro Corner with Adam Carroll, where you just talk for like a minute each on each game, and we just put it on the site?
Hey, I'm up for it. I think for the most part, I'm not going to commit to it, but I'm going to go ahead with these games and come back with like two or three that
I think it's a good idea, because I'm dead keen on playing these online games, but like I want games that I used to play when I was younger, like Turtles and like WWF WrestleMania Challenge, but I don't think they'll ever get added. But I'm really keen to like just go jump into these NES
NBA
and SNES
Jam,
games.
Mate.
Licensing-wise, I wonder if that's a game they'd look at and go, "No, we ain't going to bother with that."
Yeah, I don't think they would.
Look, there's another one, Chris, like called, and the NES thing called.
I mean,
I think
there isn't, because I don't have a button for the other one.
We don't put a button.
Yeah.
It's not. There isn't.
I'm going to say it's called Immortal. I don't know. It was published by EA or something back in the day.
No, it's Ubisoft. But it was like Immortals Phoenix Rising. I haven't got a button for that either, but, you know.
This was like an RPG kind of wizard dungeon crawler kind of thing. I'll be honest, it seemed cool, but I died within 30 seconds. And I was like, okay. Oh, that's that.
That's why I don't have a video of it, I'm guessing.
Yeah.
Stupid toys.
Yeah. She's just become dead.
I think it was. Either way, I'm going to play a few more of these, because I just don't think I've played enough of those kind of games. And who knows? You might find some sort of cracker like Vice Project Doom. I think everyone should play that. But the game I have played a lot of this week is Bayonetta 2 on the Switch. The last time I played this was on the Wii U. I cannot remember what year this came out on the Wii U. I adored it then, and I still adore it to this day. I think that game is a cracker. It is definitely superior to its the first game in many ways. The opening, 30 minutes of Bayonetta 2 is so insane. Like, I don't know if I've played anything so insane. Like, what goes on in Bayonetta 2? To be honest, from start to finish, the moments of downtime when you're kind of just running along through an area is kind of like, okay, but it quickly goes into utter madness, down to like the enemy designs, I think, are so cool. They're so, so cool. Like, they're so unique. The combat is, look, I'll be honest, you can compare a lot of things with Devil May Cry and stuff like that. Bayonetta 2 is probably my favorite. Bayonetta 2 is probably what I'm best at. I don't consider myself a good Devil May Cry player, but you know, getting those pure platinum medals in Bayonetta 2, I do okay, and I think it's really satisfying. It's super tight always. I will say that on Switch, it does look a bit rough at times. I think in some cases you could be looking at it thinking, is this 720p throughout? But you know, you get by. this game came out in the Wii U, and not to say that it's not that long ago, but you know, I do remember playing it in the Wii U going, oh, this game looks phenomenal. I still think a lot of the settings and the art style is all still incredible. I get people will also say that, like, oh, Bayonetta as a character is very, like, oh, you know, it's over-sexualized and stuff like that. I think it's hilarious. I think it's bloody hilarious the whole time.
I mean, it's both, isn't it? The opening of her game is over-sexualized and it's hilarious, right? It's both.
It is. But I think, like, if you're going to play something like Bayonetta and be like, oh, like, look at her. Like, what do you think is going to happen with this game? And, like, from the first 10 minutes, like, she has her... She's flying through the air and there's like her clothes are instantly getting torn off bit by bit. And it's just like, this is madness. But that's what that game is. It's crazy. I think it's amazing boss fights. The Lumen Sage is cracking. It always will be. And I think there's a lot of people who still have yet to play Bayonetta.
Do you know, man, I think it's one of the...
Definitely two.
It's one of the few games that when it did come to Switch, it gave me a new appreciation of it. Because I liked it on Wii U, but for some reason it didn't... I just liked it. Whereas when it came to Switch and I played it all the way through again for review, I loved it. Like, I'm sort of with Bayonetta 3. Like, I'm kind of in a constant state of, oh, come on. But also, it's like, also, whenever. Because Astral Chain showed me they can still make those games and do them really well, so it doesn't feel like I'm in any rush for it. I still maintain, and I've said this on the pod before, I don't feel like we get as many of those games, given how people seem to... When they do come out, they're always like 9 or 10 out of 10s. I don't get why there aren't more of that style of game, like the DMCs that come along once a year, maybe. Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know, really, because people do love them. I just think, like, it all depends. Like for example, Devil May Cry 5. I didn't truly get on with. I know
that some of the footage you sent me, I just cut to it for the live feed for people, and it was literally the camera panning down breasts to the crotch. And it's like when you said, "Oh, I'm not so sure it's over." Like, it couldn't. I couldn't have accidentally cut to a bit any better than. Yeah. No, listen.
I just want to say, I think Devil May Cry 5, you know, like, I think it is a great game. There's no denying it, but I didn't fully get on with it as much as everyone else did. But, like, that's what these games are. You just, there's certain, like, I just click massively with Bayonetta's combat.
You should play with Devil May Cry 5 on PS5, man. Oof.
Yeah, oh, I know. Man, I definitely would give that another go. I think, though, even when you're saying with Astral Chain, Ed, like, I remember playing Astral Chain going, Jesus, is this like, best game in terms of gameplay?
Yeah, I need to get on that.
Astral Chain is phenomenal, but the madness of Bayonetta 2 has made me kind of go, shit, when Bayonetta 3 comes around, it's going to be...
I would like to see someone who's, like, brilliant at Astral Chain play on the highest difficulty and see what they can pull off. Because some of the madness you can do with the Astral Chain aspect... I've never actually looked into it, but yeah, I mean, if you were going to, honestly, Devil May Cry, Astral Chain, and Bayonetta, throw them up in the air, and whichever one lands first, I'll say is my favourite. Like, Astral Chain, it's weird, right?
Near's
in that category too, awesome, but I think it sort of maybe leans more into, there's more RPG elements, maybe. But those three, I mean, that is Platinum Games as well. They developed the combat side of that, didn't they? I don't know, I just... Yeah, Astral Chain just feels like it's been forgotten. Like, I don't think I've heard anyone mention it.
I just feel these games
kind of
do get forgotten.
Yeah, that's fair, yeah.
Yeah.
Maybe that's why we don't get many of them.
It's really...
Because people don't buy them.
And to be honest, I've only played Bayonetta 2, started it this week. I bought that on Switch day one. Like, I pre-ordered it and everything, and it's only now I'm getting around to it. Now, I did end up playing on the Wii U in ways, but, like, do you know, I think there is a few people who still have yet to play this game, and I... absolutely, like, think everyone should give this a go if you have it on Switch, or even just buy it as a blind buy. It's an unbelievably cool action game and, like, exceptional gameplay. I just want to also say as well, very quickly before we move on, that Deadbeat Punk just said, are these the games I was previously talking about available on virtual console?
Yeah.
They absolutely are. That's where I'm playing them on the Switch. But that's all I've been playing so far. Next week, it's all Monster Hunter.
It's Monster Hunter Rise, isn't
Can't
it?
Wait.
And It Takes Two. I hope people are still talking about that game.
Yes, of course.
And so actually, Chris and I, we have a game we can talk about next week as well, don't we? Which we won't even allude to. And you definitely haven't. Chris Hyde, what have you been up to, mate? What have you been up to? What have you been playing? Speaking of retro corners.
Well, in some ways, I've been writing a wrong from last year. So Final Fantasy VII Remake is out on PlayStation Plus. And so I've finally jumped in after putting it off because I was like, I'm not going to find the time to do this. So I didn't manage to get around to it when we were talking about it for Game of the Year. And I'm actually in a bit of a... Definitely, I think, between you three in a unique position where I haven't played the original either. So I'm literally coming into this game late and blind. And thankfully, haven't had story spoiled for me or anything. So literally going into it with no kind of preconceptions of the original or no kind of understanding of what's going to go on. So, so what I will say is I haven't finished it. Just in wherever we talk, and I obviously won't spoil the story anyway, but I'm probably about three quarters of the way through, I would say.
Okay.
Kind of a big catastrophic thing has just happened, and I'm doing kind of what I think is like the main chapter with all the quests in before the kind of final
you,
act.
You're not a third through. You're not.
What's that?
You're not a third through, I don't think, mate.
I'm not what?
He's a third through.
I'm in chapter 14 of 18, so I'm.
Oh, are you?
I'm like three quarters of the.
Oh,
way
okay.
Through.
I take it back. Yeah. I apologize.
I've played like 25 hours.
I thought you were suggesting you were in the first
the
area where you could.
Thing.
Yeah, and also you said there's an area where you can do all the quests. There's two of them, so I thought, yeah.
No, sorry. There's three of those. I'm on the third area where you can do a load of quests. So I think.
Okay, so you are very far in then.
Quest hurrah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yes. So I played 25 hours, but I haven't. Yeah. So like end game spoilers, I have no idea about, right? So it's story bits. But I think the first thing that I will say, so it's a bit, you know, for me, I heard a lot when it came out and you guys talked around it, I think, at Game of the Year, which I zoned out on, obviously, because I don't want the spoilers around. There's obviously with it being part... No, but in all seriousness, with it being part one and it being, you know, 30 hours, there is... From what I understand, padding, what people say, more stuff in this story than what was in the original. And I have no frame of reference for that. Once I've finished it, I will check what they added. But I'm just taking this story as it stands at face value. I have nothing to compare it to. And other than the optional side quests, which I don't think there's that many of, if I'm honest, I'm not certainly seeing loads of quests that, you know, just get thrown at you like a normal JRPG, where they just got, you know, it's not like bloody... a Bethesda game where you just like shed loads. I actually think the pacing of this story is actually really good. I don't know where the filler is supposed to drop, but I don't really feel like I've experienced that yet. I feel
the thing that people describe as filler is optional. So if you do feel like I've had enough of this,
and I don't know that,
just don't do
I don't know. I don't know. Is the filler the side quest? Is that what people?
That's what I think Chris, it is what people have criticized. Is the side quest being filler? I'd like to give you a virtual handshake to say I appreciate the fact you have said that, because to me, it's an argument that I just feel it's like it absolutely does not take up that much of your time. The side quest, they absolutely don't. They're just you just get to get around the world and you just get around the town you're in and you just get to see it a bit more. And that argument that people were having with it, I was a bit like, come on, we can't be giving up with the game, the scope that's going for, the visual detail, just small quests, like nothing too time consuming at all. Continue, sorry.
No, it's fine. So okay. So the padding piece. So I guess the story is largely similar then. So, I'm enjoying the story. I guess you three will all probably just say that's why it's the best game of all time. But the story feels not just like your average Final Fantasy story or your average JRPG story, you know, which I think is really interesting. It's a lot darker, it's literally darker, but the tones of like death and destruction are much more prevalent than in the game. I'm not telling you guys things you don't already know, but I think it's a really interesting story in that sense. It's not just like, you know, good person or good group of people defeat bad person. And there might be some collateral damage. There's literally, you know, the whole premise of the story is kind of not flipped on its head, but from a different perspective. And I think it's really, I think it's really interesting. And obviously it's part one, so I have no idea where it goes after that. But certainly taking this game in isolation, I just think it's a really interesting take on it. And it doesn't shy away from some of the, I guess, some of the choices the story makes. Like nothing's inconsequential. It faces up to the decisions of the story takes, the beat, pretty major beats that it makes, and it shows you them quite brutally. And that's quite refreshing. You often get games like this where, you know, yeah, okay, hero defeats bad guy, and you don't really think about anything else because that's the thing you're focusing on. It's like a tunnel vision thing, whereas actually stuff that goes on around it is also important. So yeah, I'm really liking the story, and I don't understand all of it, which is always good because, you know, there's some reveals left to come. I haven't figured it all out yet.
If you don't understand it now, good luck.
Oh yeah, I'm sure I don't understand the whole thing, but what I mean is
understand what's going on. You won't. Don't worry about that. Just enjoy it.
No, I'm not worrying. I'm just enjoying it. And I think that's, you know, and again, the other thing, like, you know, 20 something hours have passed and I don't regret any of it. I want to go and play it again.
I kind of do too. But also now I know I have played it and I want to play it again on PS5. There's a question. I don't know if it's a troll question or not, but Deadbeat Punk says, is Final Fantasy VII Remake on Game Pass yet? No, it's not on Xbox at all. I have a sneaking suspicion it will be around summertime.
Chris, how are you finding the gameplay in general, like the combat? Because I think they couldn't have done it any better.
So obviously, again, no frame of reference, but like the combat for me is exceptional. Mm. I think I remember speaking to Adam when I first played. I played it for about an hour or so, or an hour and a half or something, and I was like, I've just done the first boss, I guess, and I was like, it's too much going on. I don't know what I'm doing. I've used far too many potions. I'm that person that's like, oh, if I use more than two potions and don't have 99 left, I'll be, you know, I'm that kind of guy. So I was like, I'm going to get absolutely annihilated in this game because I've whacked it on normal difficulty and I probably should have just gone for easy or whatever.
No.
But it really is one of those combat systems that really grows. Not only do you obviously find all the materia and you can level it all up and you can build loadouts, right, for all your party, which is really handy, but you're obviously unlocking new skills as you get new weapons and stuff, so you can literally, there's so much more nuance to it than I thought that there would be. You know, quite often in JRPGs you just kind of you get into a groove of this is how I'm going to play grunt fights with the party that I've got, and you have to be much more reactive, I think, in this game and in the combat here. And not just the whole rock, paper, scissor of elements, but there's other stuff going on with how to stagger enemies and stuff. So I think it's really clever. It's really involved, but not overwhelmingly so. I thought it would be at the start, but you do it so often and the pacing of which it grows is not too quick, so that I wasn't overwhelmed for very long. I got to grips with it. They introduce new stuff and you kind of get to grips with it. And now if I went back to play those first couple of chapters, I'd be absolutely fine because I get what they're trying to do now. Mm. So yeah, I think the combat is really good. Really, really good. Really fluid. Obviously, technically it's really good, but the design and style of it, I think, is what makes it, because there's so much combat. If the combat was awful, you know, story and combat, you need to nail those two. And if the combat didn't feel like it didn't feel like you were growing with it like you do, I think you'd get bored of it very quickly. And you don't. I don't get bored. You know, you see the enemies on the screen. It's not random encounters. I don't ever think, oh, for crying out loud, I've got a, you know, it's not a Paper Mario or a Gun King where you're running away from Koopa Troopers. It's like, I'm up for this. Let's do this. I'm going to knock you for six. Mm-hmm. So yeah, I'm really enjoying it, loving it. And I can't wait to see where it goes. And
I tell you,
I'm a fan, lads.
That music as well, huh? That music is swing.
The music, I will say, I mean, again, it's probably, the music probably has more love for you guys knowing how it's enhanced classic tunes or whatever, but the music is stunning. What I will say is I will never tire of Barrett shouting, I'm not even a Final Fantasy VII fan, but obviously that's not just Final Fantasy VII, but... It just, things like that, I just love, and it's just a really charming game, and the music's really good, the voice acting is really good as well. I have to say, you know, when the characters are interacting in the cutscenes and stuff, it's well written and well executed as well. It's I'm really, really enjoying it. I get why you guys love it. Obviously don't have the love for the original, but even as a standalone, you know, if you ignore the fact it's a remake and just a game as it is, I'm loving it. It's superb. Really, really good. And I can't wait to play more of it. Really good.
Well, on that note, it's time to do some listener correspondence before we have a little break from being on a podcast and come back on Monday for some more Super Mario Mondays. I'll start with Chris White for this question. And just for the people who are watching live, you've got about 5 minutes to get your live questions in if you've got any, and we'll get to them after the sort of pre... I keep thinking what word I'm looking for, the pre-got, the ones we got first. G-Town Steve on our Patreon Discord says, Chris White, you have 15 minutes of fame on global television in front of an audience of billions. How do you use those minutes, Chris White? Yes.
I spent the last hour trying to think of something and I still haven't got anything because I feel like I have no discernible talent that would warrant.
You have a talent that you can't learn. It's passion, what? Christopher. It's passion.
Yeah, but how do you show billions of people that in 15 minutes?
I would genuinely either be the most loved or hated man in the world after. I would go on there and I would say, stop treating the people who keep every country running like dog shit. Stop treating people... Stop pretending... You like someone, stop pretending someone's important. This question was always going to make me end up getting angry. But I put this in our Discord and I saw this on the other day on the BBC. They had a quite moving section on the news about, it was on the year, I keep saying anniversary, the year remembrance of the pandemic. And they had quite a moving thing about the NHS and generally people in that sort of industry. And... the second that finished, they cut to another thing where they were talking to MPs and they had Desmond Swain on there, who just happens to be the MP for my area. And he is the guy who literally said wearing masks is a monstrous imposition. So you go from having all that lip service to say, oh, how great they all are, to then giving airtime to someone who fucking goes against everything that those people are fighting for, who are saying, wear your masks, stay inside, don't go out, while he's saying it's a monstrous imposition. I've met him. That's a story for another podcast. I met him a few times, actually. I'd love to tell that story on here. Not gonna. Stop pretending you care about people like that. Be honest. Actually care about them. Give them a livable wage. Don't pay them 1%. Actually pay them what they're worth. If they're saving lives and keeping the country going, fucking pay them what they're worth. That's what I would. I would probably maybe cut a few of the swears out, but that's what I would do in those 15 minutes. And I think you could do that as well. What I'm saying. You can't teach passion.
No, I think I had a kind of similar answer to this. Aside from spending 15 minutes saying Pringle sandwiches are banned and anyone that you know does them is just horrific. Aside from that obvious one, the one that came to my mind was a bit. Slightly similar, I guess, in the sense of, but more the kind of the social media angle of just stop being dicks to each other. Like, I feel like, you know, people, you know, you don't need to have to tell someone that if someone says they like a game, for example, bring it to games because that's what we're talking about. You don't have to then say why you hate it. Like, you know, I feel like there's too much of that. Like, I feel like I'm quite lucky with my social media circle that I tend to just follow people that just like games, like just they're fans of games and they will be generally positive about it and will be positive conversations. But I know that there's quite a few individuals who take pride in just kind of knocking people and their opinions down just for the sake of it and because of the anonymity of social media and just be like, if I had 15 minutes and everyone was listening, I'd be like, just be nicer to people and just if someone's happy about something and like something, that's cool. Let them like it. And if they don't, if you don't like it, you don't have to tell everyone every 5 minutes. Just move on. It's almost like if you haven't got something nice to say, don't say it at all. So that's that, and that or Pringle sandwiches would be what I'd say.
Adam Carroll, 15 minutes of fame.
Well, well, Chris has banned my idea, which was just
yeah, sorry, man, Pringle sandwich.
I was going to sit down with everyone and be like, welcome to my cooking show for 15 minutes. Jeez. And I get a tube of Pringles and I bring it along the side. I'd sit down, we get deep. No, really, though, I just turn around and said Last of Us 2 was an absolutely stellar game, and you're all wrong.
See, the one thing I did think of, which I didn't say because it was shit, but now you've all kind of given quite impassioned speeches, I feel that it's quite out of place.
That's what we do best, man. That's what we do best.
I know.
Like the juxtaposition of,
yeah, but I feel
of
like
me ranting about people not treating key workers correctly, and then at the end of the game of the year talking about how important Mario is.
I just feel like I should.
And then you're getting your todger out for 15 minutes.
Yeah. I mean, I can't do the audio thump anymore because it's right there on camera. Earlier in the chat,
I feel
people
like I should have said
nipples.
Mine first. But yeah. I was going to do my funny fart.
What?
Right. So I won't go into the specifics, but like, have you ever, to piss off your other partner, I don't know why I'm saying this, spread your cheeks when you fart? Just do it.
Yes.
Just do it. You don't have to go too deep. Just hold them at the side.
You just hold them
part
open.
Your cheeks and just let one rip. It's the funniest sound ever. It's so like sharp and like
sharp
reverb.
No, it gives it a hell of a lot more room. It gives it an awful lot more room. Yes, no, volume's the word. It turns it from a fart.
Yeah, yeah.
Farts are funny, but I feel this is just. It's just on another level.
My wife and I have often said to one another, if we ever stop finding farts funny, then that's probably the end of the road, isn't it? Like that. Not for us. I mean, just for life.
Give it up.
Hang on a second. Yeah. Oh. Hang on a second. I wanna wonder here. You're saying to spread the cheeks and off you go.
You only have to pull one cheek. Just give it a little bit more.
Yeah.
But if I do that, I feel it would just go.
Nah, man. No, it's like a specific rip.
I don't feel like really going to go squeak, squeak.
No.
No.
Yeah, but it's all that vegan food you eat. Like, you
thunderous.
You need a bit more roughage in you. Well, no, I suppose
you need a starting thrust before.
I'd eat like fig
do
rolls.
I need my stomach
fig
to be
rolls
latched.
Work well for me. No, just get some fig rolls down you.
Oh, Jesus.
Have you ever done one
rolls.
That just sounds like a trumpet? Just put a single trumpet blast and that's
it. Yeah.
And. Finished. Gone. I've never replicated
it. My daughter does all the time. And she's done the longest fart I've ever heard in person
like
done by
that.
Anybody.
No, that sounds
so
awful.
So you know how sometimes you hear them on comedy shows and they're uncomfortably long?
Yeah, yeah.
I've heard her do one and I'm like, you know, when you just think it must be some, I don't know, someone rubbing up against something and that's where the sound's from. No, she's just does a really long fart. And she's at the age where she does not... They don't phase her at all. She doesn't laugh at them or anything. She doesn't even respond.
Oh, man.
It's brilliant.
Long farts are the best.
I think there's moments as well. I think everyone has the moment where they're on their own. And it doesn't happen quite often, but you do that one. And you kind of sit there and you go, I really wish someone was here to hear that.
Yeah.
That was top drawer. I'm laughing by myself. Like, they come around every so often. They're rare. But when they do,
I
just want to high five that guest.
I know where you're coming from because it's like if our lounge is three doors away from the toilet, and if you do one in the toilet, and I can just about hear my wife tittering three doors away, and it's like, that's a good one. Fig rolls, by the way, fig rolls quite a passionate subject because in
not
the live
a lot
chat,
of love for fig rolls.
Yeah, David
Ayers,
fig rolls are mank, deadbeat punk, fig rolls are dog shit baked into biscuits.
I mean, they wouldn't be my first choice, but surely they're only there, like Chris said, to serve a purpose.
Yeah, I was just specifying what has worked me the most over the years, and they are the one to have on stage. Well, if you get stage fright, you're like,
the most.
I'm going to shove a few fig rolls in, give it a few minutes, and off
remarkable
you go.
That you seem such
orally,
a professional.
That's not
in terms of the
trumpeting, don't shove them up your ass.
But you don't like beans.
No.
Some live questions. I don't think I've missed any. Thomas McInnes, can you please put the record straight about the song Gold by the artist that was formerly Prince and was briefly a symbol? Adam made a face on the previous pod and should apologise. It's you, Adam Pringles. Adam, I did.
Why? What did I do?
You made a face.
What face did I do?
You're not a fan of Gold.
I love Prince.
You're not a fan of Gold.
Love Prince. Ah, no. Did I? I don't know.
I
love Prince. I think I said in the pod as well that he's my favourite guitarist. So
you might have, yeah. I like that song. I like Gold. I think it's got a banging guitar solo, and the pretension of him having a guitar in the shape of his cymbal at the time for the video. I like Prince, and I like that song.
Yeah.
I think it's the Chris's that hated it.
I wish I didn't mean to make a face. I was probably making a face of just like
you're probably doing Prince. A fart. You know,
probably doing a fart. I had plenty of big rolls.
Slipping one out quietly.
Yeah.
Rotom says, if you were on my free cams, which I don't know what that is, what would be the I know what it is now. What would be the kink you would only perform in private chat?
What would be the kink you perform in private chat?
My farts.
Yeah.
Spreading cheeks.
Like a squeaker.
One cheek.
Yeah.
Squeaker. Yeah. One cheek or two, Doc. Yeah. No, I wouldn't do that. That wouldn't get me much coin, would it?
Don't know. Some people like things, mate.
I suppose.
Monetize anything.
Yeah.
I can't actually think of anything.
I'd just do like people used to ask me when I was younger to do the truffle shuffle, like Chunk from the Goonies. So I might just do an adult version of that.
Maybe
I'm like Homer Simpson. You know when you when he like pats him and he never stops. It's like that.
It jiggles.
So I could just do that. Yeah. So I just do that.
I'd maybe
for half hour.
Maybe I'd wank off pigs or something. I don't know.
Wow.
Dirty pigs. It's not something I'm choosing to do. I'm just saying.
Don't be allowed.
Oh,
it's
I don't.
Weird.
I'm not.
Tumbleweed.
I don't. Yeah, all right. Well, I don't really have a kink like that. So I just made it up and now
I'm sure?
embarrassed everyone.
Yeah. Jesus.
You could have gone, I don't know. Rub my feet or something.
Oh, not
like,
feet
nah,
things.
Straight
no,
straight
not
to,
feet things,
to,
mate.
No, but you don't
do foot things, please.
No, but other people might find. I guess the point is like.
Yeah, but I'm not doing it for them.
Straight. That's what the whole point of it is, isn't it? I don't get anything from my
own
truffle shuffle.
For your own pleasure.
Yeah. I'm not sitting there going, oh, my own truffle shuffle turns
hypnotic.
Me on. Well, yeah, there is that. It's quite relaxing in that sense. Yeah.
Female pigs orgasm for 30 minutes.
There you go, see?
So you want it? You're barren for the woman.
Yeah, you have a lot of this pig information. Now you get awful abuse off my Pringle business.
Rotom says closet Tory Adam, and he knows that he could not be more wrong than that. David Ayers says I work with pigs and laughs, so I don't know what that means. we've got one more pre-sent in question here. Deadbeat Daddy didn't love me from Discord. After seeing the tweet. who he's also in live chat just said the old dirty Cameron. But his question is, after seeing the tweet for an employer giving their staff a day off to play Monster Hunter, he got to wondering, if you could declare a bank holiday for one character or franchise, which would it be and how would you celebrate it? Bonus points as always for Croc. Which character or franchise would get a bank holiday?
I'm going to get a straight away at Zelda.
Yeah, the obvious
character
for Mario, right? Because that's when everyone just...
But Link? Zelda, Link, whichever you call it, the fella with the tunic. The
fella with the green.
Yeah. Jesus. You wank pigs, go away.
How would you celebrate, Link Day?
Yeah, what would you do? What would be so good about this bank holiday Link? Everyone gets a master sword and a triangle to play. And they ding, ding, ding.
Yeah, that'd be great.
Yeah.
Everyone gets ocarinas or something.
Has anyone got an answer for Deadbeat Daddy Didn't
Lara Croft.
Oh yeah,
what's that for?
I know. Yeah, he's all moody, because he wants pigs.
You're not allowed opinions now after that comment about the pigs. Filthy boy.
you dirty bitch.
Dirty pig.
No, I'd go with Lara Croft dirty because she's a local lass. She's created
she?
In Derby. Yeah.
Fair enough.
So I feel.
How
like,
would you celebrate Lara Day?
Dress up.
A couple of pigs.
Dress up like a
couple of pigs,
the green lycra, green lycra, a couple of pigs on either side.
Yeah, seeing you do that then reminded me of the Wii U, the Switch launch event.
Oh, yeah,
that's a great video.
Look at the cow,
yeah, that's the one.
That was good fun. Yeah,
I mean, look, it's Mario, isn't it? We'd give it to Mario.
To Mario, would you?
I mean, mate, if I'm going for pigs, Mario's so far down on the kink list. If you could declare a bank holiday for one character or franchise, it's Mario, isn't it? It's got to be.
Yeah.
Or Sonic, he needs
Mario
some
Day.
Love. He needs some love. We've got one more question here. Serious question. Rotom says about It Takes Two. Is it suitable for co-op with kids, given the married subject matter that it is? It does have some darkness in it. Like, there is a couple of cutscenes with kids involved. Not pigs, no. and it does... It's... I think if they're mature enough.
Yeah, like I'm going to play with my 11-year-old, and I'm comfortable letting her play it.
Yeah, I would be too.
I would play it with my younger one, probably. But
how old is she?
11.
Like nine, isn't it?
She's 8.
Yeah, 8 might be a bit upset.
That's but she's a bit sensitive. Yes. I think, like, even the bit with the elephant, it's not like, it's for kids. Like, it's not, it has different layers for adults and children.
I can imagine a sensitive 8-year-old getting quite upset by that moment. Whereas an 11-year-old, I think, would probably, at 11, they know more than we ever did at 11. And it's to be honest with you, I think the bigger issue is that the people are going to, because they keep talking about, oh, play it with your spouse. That's not going to work, man.
Unless your spouse
happens to play a lot of video games. If you're going to go in and go, oh, this is a co-op game. No way.
Yeah, we mentioned this when we talked a lot about this when we played the preview. Like, we're all right at games. We played a few of them.
Yeah, yeah.
And there were some of the, particularly like the boss fights.
The second boss fight is difficult.
You have to be looking in quite a few places and be on it quite a lot of the time.
It's very generous with letting you respawn, and checkpoints are pretty decent, but it's still tough, and it's not one way you can just go, I'll do all this, because a lot of the boss fights, for example, require one person to use their skill to enable the other person to damage them, and then it will switch round. I think kids nowadays, like if they've been playing games like, you know, and Darren, I know what his kids play, he's mentioned it before, he'd be fine. I can't imagine he'd get upset about it. Maybe if it was a child who was like with you for the weekend and you are divorced or getting divorced, might be a bit too close to home. But I think most kids, I want my kids to play it because I think they'd be surprised by how good it feels, because they're all, my kids are a lot into games like Overwatch or Titanfall, games that feel, or even Call of Duty, that feel very responsive in the hand, and this is that kind of, it is that, I think. I don't know. That's it for this week, I think. I think we are done. If you would like to send us a question, you can do so via email, via Twitter. Email is podcast@godisageek.com. Tweet us @godisageek. Come to our Discord. If you want to see this podcast early and listen to it early, patreon.com/godisageek. Do subscribe. Do hit the bell button. Do follow us. Make sure you keep an eye on the site. We've got loads of Monster Hunter stuff coming up tomorrow, actually, if you're watching this live, our review of Monster Hunter Rise will be up tomorrow, along with a video. We've got some tips. We've got loads of stuff. The one feature I'm excited for people to see is that Mick has written a feature about, like, if it's your first Monster Hunter, the things, because Monster Hunter is a very deep game, always is. There's a nice feature coming up about, like, if you're new to it, the things it kind of doesn't tell you that you kind of wish you knew going in. Adam, Chris and Chris, thank you very much for being here. Always appreciate it.
Thank you.
Thank you, dude.
Thank you, everyone who came live. Thank you to everyone who wasn't even live and is watching or listening later. That's it. Thanks very much. We'll speak to you next time or whenever you choose to listen. Bye-bye for now.